You're listening to Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle, a podcast on leadership, creativity, and building great churches. You can find Kelly online at kellystickle.com.
Hi, Victory Nation. Welcome to the podcast, our Inside My Victory podcast about church leadership and creativity. And today I have a very, very special guest with me, Pastor Kevin Gerald, all the way from Tacoma, Washington and Champion Center. It's so great to have you with us, Pastor Kevin.
Thank you, Pastor Kelly. Great to be here today.
We just finished an amazing staff meeting and a team church day, one day event in Red Deer that was amazing with pastors all over Western Canada, and a lot of American pastors came up for
we
the
had
event.
A lot of fun, didn't
yeah, that was awesome.
That was a great day.
So we've had some great teaching, and you talked a lot this morning with our staff about culture and organizational alignment. So I'd like to dig a little deeper into that. And there's a number of statements that you made that I thought were very, very powerful. A number of things stood out to me that I thought really like to talk about. You started with the picture of the Greek, I don't even want to try to pronounce it, phalanx.
It's called flanks, yeah.
Flanks, yeah. Explain how that alignment and, yeah, how because that kind of was the trigger point for.
Right. It's the ancient military alignment that first came into existence with the Greek military.
Right.
And you can Google it, look it up, get some pictures. It has now evolved into various, not just the Greeks have used it, but in Asia and various parts of the world. But in Roman armies have used it.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that it can have variations of it, but the bottom line is that it's shoulder to shoulder, and it is people walking and moving together. So it's like foot soldiers
yeah.
who are surrounded with shields or put their shields around them. And the idea is that they are on the defense and the offense at the same time.
That's right.
So they're while they're being protected and they're guarding themselves, they're also moving forward.
Right.
And the idea is the concept, when you look at the picture, that is helpful for us in the church today is to realize that it takes some effort and intentionality to get shoulder to shoulder and to stay in step with the group. And to do it, though, is our safety. It's our protection.
Yes.
It's our advancement. It's all of those things put together. So the talk today was just about, you know, about flanks being an example, a great example of an alignment that's important to any church, any team, anyone who wants to advance, move forward.
That's so good. It's hard enough to stay in alignment with my wife in a shopping mall. And it's just one person. But imagine, this is an entire platoon of soldiers being linked up and working together. So that would have taken much effort, much practice, and especially under the pressure when they got into battle to stay linked. And if there's
right.
one weak link in that whole thing, it would cave the whole thing in.
Right. Can you imagine like a marching band? If you watch marching bands, you
yes.
see something really similar because they have different instruments in their hand. They can't hold hands.
Right.
So they have to learn to walk together, to march together, to be in the same step. And it's a beautiful thing
it is,
to
yeah.
actually watch them do that. But now imagine that an enemy is there or they're under attack, how easy it is to scatter.
Right,
and how easy it would be just impulsively to part ways or to scatter. But that's really what flanks is. It's that same thought in a military position that gave them victory over armies that were larger than themselves because of the unity that they were in whenever they were marching forward.
Yeah, and you brought up at the conference in Red Deer about we are in a battle, we're in warfare, we're expecting opposition. This is part of what church world is. We signed up for this. This
yep.
is war. And so it really is. And so it's hard, very difficult to stay in alignment, especially under attack and all the different things coming. And so let's dig into that a little bit more about the subcultures, the cultures that happen in a church. So
mm-hmm.
you wrote a book on culture by default or by design. And you want to expound a little bit on just the concept of that book and culture in. And when it came out, not many people were talking about culture in church. Today, it's a common topic, but
right, yeah. This book, I want to say 20 years ago, 18 years ago, when I first started noticing it myself and appreciating the value of it. I was trying to build a church. I mean, I'd come to the Northwest part of the U.S. and our church was really small.
Yeah.
And I was trying to learn and grow, and so I was fascinated by the power of culture and just your Starbucks, for example.
Yeah.
So in the Northwest of U.S., we would have Nordstrom would have been founded there, the store Nordstrom.
Yeah.
The Starbucks would have been founded there, and other great companies. And the amazing thing is that they all have a culture.
Yes,
and
do.
Anything that is transferable, and if you're going to be duplicatable, then there has to be these values at the core that people carry with them, and they hold those values close.
Yes.
And so I started just noticing all of that and thinking, man, that is far. So I wrote this book. And I don't want to say it was the first Christian book on culture, but I hadn't seen another one. And I called it By Design or By Default. And so then I was being asked to speak around the world with that book. And there were positive responses. And then there were people who were bothered because in bringing it into a spiritual atmosphere, to them, they only identify culture as something that should be talked about in the secular world. My thing that I kept saying is that every church has a culture.
Yeah.
Every church, like whether you—
It's there whether you know it or not.
Whether you know it or not. Yeah. And whether you want to acknowledge it or not, it's still there. Like, so the fact that we talk about it, I'm not like telling you need to have a culture.
Right.
I'm just saying you do have one, and how's it working for you?
Yes.
And if it's not the culture that you want, you have to realize that it happened by default. And I think it's a lot better that we design our culture. We
That's
be intentional
so good.
About the culture so that it supports our message.
Yes.
And supports our vision and what it is that we want to do as the church.
I've had lots of conversations with pastors about culture, and it's culture is not easy to define, and people are going, well, what is my culture? How do I find it? You broke it down this morning, which I thought was really good, and in a simple sentence that kind of it shouts culture. This is what culture is, and it's simply this is the way we do it here, or that's the way that we do it here.
Yep.
So expound upon that a little bit about that's culture by design or by default. I mean, people will just they'll say that no, that's just the way that we do it here, not knowing that they're defining culture.
Not knowing sometimes they're defending something when they ought to allow something fresh or new to come.
Right.
They're just saying, you know, that's the way we've always done it, or that's how we do it here. And what they're referring to is that culture.
Yes.
So good or bad, like it or not, that's what culture is. It's the way we do things around here. And the goal is for church leaders and for people who are members of a church, you want to see the church do well. You want to see the church be strong in its mission. You want to see the church reach the thousands of people in your city and your town. Culture is really crucial. And paying attention to it and then asking yourself, what kind of culture is it that supports the mission that we're on?
Right.
And let's be really intentional about the way we do things around here, rather than just doing it however it's always been done or doing it how it feels good. Let's think about the way we do things around here, and let's do it with intentionality.
Yeah, would you say, I mean, I've heard it said, I'm sure you agree with this, but that culture trumps vision or strategy.
Absolutely. And here's, let me give you this this visual. I hear pastors, for example, that want their church to be, they want their church to evangelize their community, let's say.
Right.
They want our church to go out and invite and compel people to come with you to church. You can say that every weekend for years and years and years and years, but saying it doesn't make it so.
Right. So good.
And culture... The difference is when it becomes a culture of a church, then it is actually what we're doing at our church. It's the way we actually do things around here. So the church, it gets in the DNA of the church.
Right.
And church members, it's like second nature to them. they're talking to people at Starbucks, they meet new friends, and within a short time in the new neighborhood they moved in or whatever, like they're telling them, you know, hey, why don't you come with me to church? And it's not difficult for them. It's just part of who they are.
Yes.
And that church becomes a bringing church.
Right.
We're bringers here.
Right.
Now the pastor even may not even talk about it as much, but it's the culture. And so that's what's the same with, like, you take worship. You know, you can talk about, let's worship God. You can say that, but as long as people, you know, hands stay by their side and their heads are not lifted toward heaven and there's nothing worshipful about the atmosphere, then it's not in the culture.
Right. Yeah, that's so true.
So there's a different, and so I just try to help pastors realize we have to go from being people who talk about something to being culture creators. Jesus was a culture creator.
Yes, he was.
And can I keep talking?
Yeah,
about
it?
I
don't absolutely. Want, go ahead.
Because one thing I didn't talk about today that I love in reference to culture is when Jesus sent out the 70, he gave them these instructions that seem so trivial.
Yeah.
Like he said, I only want you to take one coat.
Yeah.
And I only want you to take one pair of sandals. And when you enter a town, here's what I want you to do. And if they don't receive you, here's what I want you to do.
Right.
And take no extra gold or, you know, no credit cards allowed. Like he gave them these rules.
Yeah.
These rules. And I envision myself, what if I would have been there that day? What if me and you and 100 of our friends would have been there? Would someone have gone, well, what's wrong with, I've got two coats.
Yeah.
And it might get cold.
Yeah.
Or I might lose my first one. What's wrong with me taking some more, like, extra backup financial horsepower?
Yes.
Like, if I can carry it and I want to carry some extra gold, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we could have, like, contested it in a reasonable, and it'd be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And my point is that Jesus, when he taught his followers what to do, he spells it out really clearly.
Yes, he did.
And even in a way that a lot of times you could say, well, why? And I would just say, Jesus was saying, that's the way we do things around here.
Yes.
So when you go in, when someone rejects you, when the city rejects you, shake the dust off your feet and leave the city.
Which is interesting because Paul, who wasn't among the 70 that Jesus taught this to, years later, this is the same behaviors or the same way that he did things when he did his missionary journeys, and that culture transferred.
Good point.
That behavior transferred decades later.
Good point.
Isn't that, I mean, that's a powerful thing.
But it's also like the whole idea of, I did a message on dust off, because the whole idea that we want to linger sometimes.
Right.
With the city.
Right.
We want to linger with the person.
Right.
We want to not give up on them. We don't want to walk away. And even when you walk away, you don't have to give up. That's an important part too.
Yeah.
You can still pray for, you can still hope for, but sometimes we're called to walk away from situations and walk away from individuals who we are propping up, who we are creating unnecessary dependency. You know, we go on and on, but the bottom line is that Jesus literally said, you know, don't think about staying and lingering too long there. There's another city. Like we're going somewhere. Think about the city that's going to receive you.
Yes.
Think about the city that's going to celebrate the gospel. So he had reasons why he told, but you could have, my point is that you could have said, I don't like that. Like that's, you know, what if I want to just stay here the rest of my life and pray for the city and try to compel the city? And he was like, no, dust off and move on.
Yeah.
And again, he was a culture creating leader. And every organization or every group has to have some things that this is the way we do it around here.
Right. So culture is really tied to the behaviors, not, you know, that happen in the hallways, in the classrooms, in the parking lot, anywhere in the church, those behaviors are going to trump what is being spoken from the platform, or what is being sung from the platform, or what is being said, you know, by the leadership. The behaviors are actually going to, and which Jesus was defining with his disciples, here's the behaviors I want you, this is the way we do things, which they could have asked why,
yep.
And Yep. And had every justification to ask why.
Yep.
And maybe they could have brought along what they wanted anyway. Well, I'm going to do it my way.
Right.
They would have been out of alignment. And you talked a lot about in culture, aligning in a church. And you made a statement that when it's out of alignment, when a church is out of alignment, it's like a strip mall. When it's in alignment, it's like a superstore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, expound upon that a little bit?
Yeah. The example is basically in a strip mall, you could have 30 different businesses under one roof.
Right.
So you'd have a dry cleaners next to a card store, next to a candy store. And if you walk into any one of those, they're individually owned and cared for. And you might would say, hey, is there somewhere around here I can get a card? And they're like, no, we don't do cards. I think there's one down the sidewalk. And they're just going to like maybe be kind enough to tell you where there is one.
Mm-hmm.
They share the same roof, but they're not on the same page.
Right.
They're not doing the same. They're not concerning themselves. Where in a superstore, I shared the experience years ago when I walked into a large superstore, a Walmart, and I walked in the side where they had the plants and the flowers and all of that, and I asked about tools, and the gentleman immediately said, yes, follow me. And he walks me to the completely opposite side. I mean, it was not a few aisles over. It was on the other side of this big, huge superstore.
Yeah.
As if this is his, he's in the tool department.
Yeah.
You know, he took ownership of everything under the roof. And that's the example is that some churches become like the strip mall.
Yes.
Where the departments are running, and they're not thinking about and including themselves in the big picture called the church.
Right.
And all of us just need to realize that we're together in one cause, and that is the church.
So good. So in closing, why don't you speak to the leader who is saying, okay, my church or the organization, or my team, the team that I'm leading is out of alignment. It's more like a strip mall. We've got all these different subcultures happening within our team. What would you say to that leader, how to address that and the process of bringing it into alignment?
Well, I would simply encourage that pastor, whoever it is, to realize that there's what you're doing is you're creating a limit. You're creating a lid. You're creating a short lifespan by allowing and continuing to lead a church that is not in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like trying to drive a car that's out of alignment. It's really rough. It pulls you left. It pulls you right. It pulls you back. It all, and you exhaust yourself, and you exhaust team members and leaders. By always responding to everyone, different pulls in different directions.
Right.
And that there's a beauty. It's an example I like to use as well is a band. A band can have different instruments, which I call diversity, within the same and still be playing the same song.
Right.
So you can be on the same song, but you can be playing different instruments to play the same song. So there's a diversity that's there, but we're on the same song.
Right.
Note by note,
right. We
are together.
Yeah.
And that's really what you want. So I would just tell a pastor that is dealing with that, that you know, it's a limited time until they grow even more apart. Because subcultures, they take on their own identity. And once they take on their own identity, they don't consider the bigger picture. And they don't allow themselves to think bigger than their little box that they're in or their little area of ministry. And then they end up actually a lot of times becoming parachurch. And, you know, I just don't like that word at all.
Yeah.
Like Jesus is not building parachurch. He's building the church.
Yes.
And he came and he died and he loves the church and gave himself for it. So I would just say you got to go there. You got to work on educating people. A lot of people do it innocently, and a lot of times they'll respond when they learn and grow. They'll come alongside and tear down the walls, and let's become a superstore.
Yeah, that's so good. There's so many takeaways, so many things in there. I love the analogy of the band, but each band needs a conductor. It needs someone to direct the whole and all the diversity that's going on. It still needs.
Please hit the note together.
Please hit the note together.
The
please
conductor.
End together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
will sound out of alignment immediately if there's no if we don't end together, don't work together. So thank you so much for this teaching. So many good takeaways in this one. This one, again, for all the leaders, I think one of the big takeaways is this is the way we do things here. And that's either by default, that's just the way we've always done it. This is the way we do things here, or that's by design. No, this is the way we're going to do things here. So lead your culture, create your culture by design, not by default, because, man, the church is the hope of the world, and we are on a mission to reach every available person at every available time by every available means with the gospel of Jesus Christ by creating churches. Unchurched people love to attend.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle. Kelly would like to answer your specific questions about church, leadership, and creativity in an upcoming podcast. You can send your questions to leadership@myvictory.ca. We are excited to announce that Kelly's new book, Minecraft, is set to be released in the new year of 2019. To reserve your copy, continue to follow this podcast and visit Kelly's website for more information. If you've been enjoying this podcast, a simple thing you can do is rate it, review it, and share it. It's a great way for you to help us equip more and more people who will build great soul-winning churches. Thank you again for joining us on the Inside My Victory podcast.